So thank you for coming together. If you guys would have a seat, that would be great. So for the astute, you will recognize that I am not Doug Walker. I am Tom Jean. I'm one of the elders here at Grace Chapel. Doug and Deb are out of town this weekend. They are in Florida visiting friends, family, and enjoying what we do not have here. And so they will be back next week. Perfect. Okay. So as this has been a little bit of a different worship, I was speaking with some of my brothers here, and they asked if I would do a devotional during this time. And so I said that I would. And one of the things that struck me this morning as we were singing was the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And especially the last, verse that stood out to me was, "And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And I think we have all found that to be true in different times. It isn't always that our life and our circumstances change, but we gain insight to who we are in Christ during those times. And those things that we struggle with without Christ versus as Christ followers are different. And the noise and the cacophony associated to daily life does grow dim in the voice of the Savior. And so it is in that spirit that we come here today. I will be pulling us back into Isaiah. And so I would like to offer a quick prayer and then jump into Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3. And so we will focus our time on that. And so if you would mind just allowing me to open us in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We are grateful for your hand in our lives. And we're grateful because sometimes we see it. And other times we simply do not. Father, we do not start and then call you. You start and then call us. And it is us that submit our lives to you. It is us in our weakness, in our frailties, that we realize that all comes from you. In our sin and in our loss, we don't have the ability to come to you. You call us. And Father, we are grateful. And so we pray that today in this devotional, we hear your word. And then we hear the calling on our lives and we say, so Father, how does this apply to what we are dealing with? How does this apply to you and to what you are doing and that you call us to? And so it is in that spirit, Father, that we come this morning. Amen. So I can't help but start with, it was so good to see Roy Yankee this morning, and he's not going to be happy that I'm saying that, but Roy, welcome back, brother. He wouldn't come up here, but. Okay, so we're going to start in Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3. And for many, this is a word in Scripture that is more familiar. But Isaiah in and of himself is a difficult book to understand. And for those who have gone through a range of Bible studies, I find that it is highly important. And so I just want to read and focus us a bit on Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. And so we'll begin. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, in the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, As I was saying, Isaiah, I find it to be a challenging book to understand. And I see Isaiah as one of those prophets, and that in his book there are oracles and prophecies and reports of what is going on with the people, written 700 years or so before Christ was on this earth. I find that it is a common message of salvation for all of us. And so how does that apply to us today? Isaiah speaks to the only source of hope for the people of God, really, and that is in our relationship to him. Isaiah prophesies about events that will occur in the future in God's plans for his people to redeem them in his sight. And so sometimes we get that turned around and we want to, you know, have him, you know, change our circumstances. And he's saying, well, I want to change you to be in my sight, in how I see you, and how I want to use you. And sometimes we find that to be a little turned around. But at that time, the northern kingdom of Israel had been carried off into captivity. You know, that was about 772 BC, before Christ. The kingdom of Judah was in the middle of a whole range of idolatry and evilness. The kingdom of Assyria was dominating what was known as that Fertile Crescent, you know, that point of that land. The kingdom of Babylon was a young gaining power, and they would eventually replace Assyria as the dominant threat. And so at that time, it would have been common to say, well, you know, for God's believers, what's going to become of his promises to us? I mean, how are we going to survive this whole mess? And how about us, though, the remnant, the believers who are following his word? Do we have to suffer with the rest of them? I mean, you know, there were 1,001 questions. But it was clear in Isaiah that God's plan would be to purge the nation of Israel. Wasn't to go after Assyria, wasn't to go after other people. It was to focus on his people, because we serve a holy God. Before the nations could inherit the promises that were made to their fathers, they would have to be made holy. And the same is true for us. You know, and so I think that God is using at that time the pagan nations for his purposes, for Israel, to draw his people to him. Is that just of that time? Is that for us today? I think becomes the question. The judgment of captivity would certainly punish and destroy the wicked and the unbelievers. It would draw his people back to him. And it would establish a time for his people of peace and prosperity, when the holy God would make a remnant holy, and he would use them to rule over the nations rather than allow the nations to discipline them. Isaiah is a difficult book, but it's a message for God's people. It's a message for God's believers. And so I think we need to understand it in that way. Isaiah lays out God's standards for his people, which are from God, for holiness, for fidelity, for a commitment to him. That's what God calls us to. And then he lays out, you know, God's plan for his people, one that is really steeped in hope, in promise and deliverance. And when we look at that, we have to ask ourselves, so how does this fit for us today? And so if we look a couple of verses earlier than chapter 11, 2, we see that in Isaiah, you know, 10:33-34, we're left with the idea that the Lord is chopping down the proud as if they were a mighty tree. In verse 33, he says, see, the Lord Almighty will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He's not talking about, a forest. He's talking about the power at that time will be brought to under his judgment. He will, in verse 34, it says that he will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. And so those who think they are in power under his blessing. And so what's left when you're chopping everything down? And it's in that context that we go into chapter 11, in which God says, really a promise in here. As he looks over the stumps, he promises that a branch will grow out of them. God will bring forth a root from the family of Jesse. It's really interesting, Jesse and David in the same family, but he doesn't really talk about David. He talks about Jesse. Jesse is at best a footnote. You don't hear a lot about Jesse. You hear a ton about David. Why is that? And I think that it is in part because while Jesse is small and appears to be insignificant, what God says is, and this is a message that comes across, I will use whom I will use. He says that it is in their weakness they will become strong. And so he reminds us that it is a root of Jesse. And this is where in chapter 11 he begins to lead those of us who are believers to say, well, is this just about that time? Or is he talking about his church? Certainly is talking about a promise for Israel and a warning for Israel and a promise. But is he talking about us today? About the salvation of his church through us? So when he is referring to the fullness of time that is wrought by Jesus Christ, and wrought is a term that, is commonly used regarding metals beaten into shape. And I think that's often what we are. We are wrought in Christ Jesus. We don't come easily to anybody, And so we are wrought in him. And the prophets of those times, the ancient Jews, understood this, as we do now. And so in verse 1, he talks about a rod and a branch. And these really signify a weakness, a vulnerability, a small, a tender product, a twig and a sprig, something that is easily broken. And the enemies of the church were compared to strong and stately boughs in chapter 10. But Christ is the tender branch. Yet it's pretty clear that the Lord is saying that it is through Christ that he will be victorious and we will come to him. And so the house of David was reduced from its, historical power during the time of Christ's birth. You've got Mary and Joseph, who are, impoverished and obscure. And so the Messiah is born into this theme of humiliation, submitting is something that is not his exalted state. It is to a kingdom that is not of this world. And he begins to call us and challenge us in that way. And so we hear that God's plan is often very different than our plan. And that one day he will do a great work, a great work that is designed, that is this tender branch should be watered and grown into becoming a strong rod and a scepter that will rule. But that's not where he starts. And many times that's where we find ourselves. By the time we move into verse 2, it is, Isaiah talks about the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And I think these are terms that we can appreciate today. The Spirit of the Lord. How is it guiding us? How is it guiding you? And he is saying that it is in the Spirit of the Lord that lives will change. That through Christ the Spirit may not be with measure, it will be without measure, the fullness of the Godhead dwelling within him. And so as we consider this, we realize that he will not judge as we judge. I believe he talks about Isaiah talks about that he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decides by what he hears with his ears. And so that's we find in the Gospels in John chapter 7 that Jesus, reminds us that he judges not by man's standards, but by God's. And in chapter 2, when he clears the temple, he sees what he needs to see about man, and he understands man's testimony. He knows what is governing man's heart. And so God will judge man's secret through Jesus Christ, as was declared in Romans 2. 16, and he assures that his judgment is in accordance to the truth. So I think that brings us to, well, what does this all mean about where we are today as we sit on the edge of 2019? How does Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 11 impact us? Do we understand that Isaiah was speaking to those people over 2,700 years ago? Is he speaking to us? Is there something that is relevant to us? Is he challenging how we understand him today? How we understand his call on our lives? To what is he calling you? To what is he calling me? I think that becomes the question. And by no means would I suggest anything that I am saying here is initiating that, because God is already working in every single heart of every single one of you. And so for me, I would say, what is that? What is it that God is calling you to? And that's what's relevant to this year coming up, because you've been working on something through him in 2018, 17, 16, and you can go back. But what is he calling you to today? And I would ask you just to think about this for a minute. Is there a spirit of repentance that he is asking you to consider in your relationships with him, in your marriage, in your friendships? Is there a spirit of repentance that he is calling you to, that you are recognizing that you might be struggling with? Is there a spirit of obedience in which you say, I don't have that strength, but it is in God's strength? It is in that faith that we trust. So is he calling you to be obedient to his promises? Are you trusting more in your own hands versus what God is doing in your life? I think in Philippians, he talks about the work that he is beginning in us. From where are you seeking your counsel, I would ask you? Is it a counsel that comes from God? Is it a counsel that is only secular? For people like me who counsel, I appreciate this even more so, I think, because it is not in my counsel that people are coming to. It is in the counsel of God. And so where are you seeking your counsel? Who are you surrounding yourself with? What are you pouring into? Is it just you in your own circumstance, or is it what God is saying about the circumstances that he has you in? From where does your power come? Do you trust more when, as I was saying a minute ago, that which comes from your own hands? Do you need to be willing in some way to be open to what God is doing? Not what you can see, but what he is promising. Does your relationship with the Holy Spirit require a bit more attention? How do you hear? How do you listen? How do you know when the Spirit is calling you? What are you doing? How are you responding to that? That's a part of what Isaiah is calling to the people of God at that point in time. And he's pointing towards Christ as the center for all of those things. And I think it's true. But I think that's you know, he makes those same calls to us. And so as we think about our fear of the Lord, as the power delights in the fear of the Lord, I think it's important that we ask ourselves, how do we define the fear of the Lord? Does that equal trust? Does it equal reverence? Does it equal respect, knowledge, wisdom? Does the fear of the Lord equal or predominate with judgment and punishment and terror and service or dread of some sort? And so in our maturities, we realize that what God wants for us is our trust in him, our reverence to him, our respect of him. Do you need to spend a bit more time in Scripture to really understand what he is doing in your life? I think Isaiah calls us to these things, and so I would ask you just to consider, where are you today as you are moving into the new year? I would just draw you back to the work that he has begun already in you. And what is it that he wants you to do? What is it that he's calling you to do? What's the conversation that you need to have? What's that time of quiet time that you need with the Lord? I think that's how Isaiah 11 speaks to me. And it reminds me that we have a lot that's going on around us, but that God has a plan already. He has a plan through his Son. And as we see that, and as we are in that plan, then how is he working out that salvation in us? As we have changes coming on, as we have our various things that we are being called to. So I would ask you to consider that as you move into these next few days, as you move into 2019. Let's, I'll close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, I pray that the challenge that comes through your word is perked by your Spirit, not by anything that I have said. If anything that I said is more confusing or doesn't make sense, I would pray that your Spirit would just take the lead in that, because everybody here knows at some level the work that you are doing in their lives. And I would ask that is what is being called here. And so I pray that your glory and that your plan is clear in the circumstances that we all face. Father, as we move into our offering here, we provide back to you what you have given to us as a measure, as a small measure of what you have given to us. But Father, we pray that you would help us to see our role in your kingdom going forward, whether it be in the offering or just in what we are doing in our lives. And so, Father, we thank you for that call upon our lives. Amen.